the Pointer Sisters, and I'm so excited. Now, it's clear that we are living longer, and according to a new report by Aegon UK, most of us are likely to live to be 100. To talk me through the research and how we prepare for a longer life is Dr. Denise Taylor, who's a psychologist and later life coach. Good evening, Dr. Taylor.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Thank you for your time. Tell me, first of all, what is a later life coach then?
I specialise in working with people over 50, predominantly or particularly people who are thinking about a retirement sort of life, but not retirement as their parents would have.
Okay, fair enough. So you'd be able to help somebody like me who is 56 nudging 57 then?
Yeah, I mean, I work with people of all ages, but I've got a particular focus on people of sort of 50 plus.
Now, there's this thing, isn't there, the second 50. What does that, what is that, and what does it tell us?
Okay, so there's an awful lot in the press about people, children born nowadays, are going to live to be 100. So probably me and you are not going to live to be 100, but we may well live to be to a great old age. And we need to make the best of it. Gone are the days when you retire from work and take it easy, put your feet up and just become old. You know, we've got probably 20 good years beyond a traditional retirement age. So let's think about what it is that we want to do and think about, you know, living a healthy lifestyle and doing things that bring us joy rather than the slog that many of us have with our jobs.
What would you say to people who are sitting there thinking, oh, crikey, I don't want to live to be 100 because perhaps they may not have the quality of life or the political and economic factors of not only this country, but the world or over, will have a negative impact on that?
Yeah, well, none of us know how long we're going to live for, do we? Anything could happen. It could get knocked down by a bus tomorrow or something. And I think when people are thinking, but I might not have enough money. So one of the things I say is, okay, so now, right now, what is it that you could do to either, you know, cut back some costs? Or maybe there is a way of earning some money. You know, you could go back and work part-time. And I appreciate not everybody is able to do that. But that's one thing to think about. But a lot of getting older is a state of mind. And there's been, you know, I gained my PhD myself at 64. And there's a lot of research out there which is about the psychological side, what we say in our heads that affect how we age. And if you are more optimistic, you're likely to live 7 or 9 years longer and in good health than those who take a very glass half empty approach to life. So that means that, you know, when I talk to people and they're going, oh, you know, I'm just, ooh, and it's all a bit downhill, you know, I'm doing what I can to try and make them feel a bit more upbeat because I want them to be more optimistic and have a better quality of life.
What other things, then, would you suggest that we can consider when planning for longer lives? You already said about, you know, the worry of having enough money. Mm. What other things could we consider?
Yes. So one of the things that we did in the report, as well as gathering data, was to think about the five areas that people need to think about. And one of them is to think about, you know, have I got enough money? And obviously, there's people that are listening in who are any age from 20 up to 80 or 90. So if you can, it's about starting to save for later life as soon as you can, you know, appreciating, you know, there's a lot of expense at the moment. So we think about that. We need to think about all the things that we can do about our health to improve our health and to keep healthier for longer. We need to think about our relationships. You know, we're in, particularly sort of in our 50s, you know, you've got the elderly parents to look after, you've got your children who possibly are still going through university. And some of us have fractured family relationships, and maybe it's paying a bit of attention to those. And thinking about work, and thinking about what gives us joy, because when we're working, that's where we get our purpose. So when we stop working, well, what's going to give us a sense of purpose? And, you know, it's like, have I got any meaning to my life? Do I matter? And, you know, people can get that through volunteering, can get that through all sorts of ways. But it's really good to start thinking of this at an earlier age. And, you know, if somebody's listening to this in 75 and thinking, like, have I missed out? Should I ever listen to it? Am I too late? Well, you're never too late and you're never too old. You know, we can always do something today.
Yeah, it's true that, isn't it? But, I mean, the retirement age has already been increased to 67 for some people, me included. So should we be prepared to retire at an even older age, do you think?
Well, I think what I remember, you know, when you'd get your, if you were lucky, you'd get your gold plated pension, and then you'd go off and, you know, you'd cut your cloth to suit what the money that you got coming in. But I think a lot of people don't want to retire at 66, 67, 70, as it might be in the future. They want to carry on working, but they want to do it in a more flexible way. So if you've been working, you know, full on 5 days a week, maybe you want to do shorter days or 3 days a week, something like that. And of course, I've got somebody working at my house, and he's an electrician, he's only 25, and he was saying, well, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to be doing this job when I'm 50. And I said, well, so probably before you approach 50, you've got to start thinking about, well, maybe I need to change a career and not wait until, you know, your knees have given up and you can't do it anymore.
Now, you're a psychologist and later life coach, as I said at the beginning. Mm. How do you feel about living to 100 plus, and how have you prepared?
Well, I'm just after my 66th birthday, 66 is about 5 weeks coming up to it now. So I've just got my state pension coming in. And one of the reasons why I'm researching things to do with aging is because it's a really interesting period of life. So I'm not going to let anything stop me. Well, I might, my knee looks so funny if it starts to go. But even that, there's still things that you can do with a wraparound. So I think if we decide we're going to live life to the full, if we decide we're going to age in a good way, and age in a way that we pay attention to the younger generation, and we don't just tell people what to do, but we listen to them, and we can, you know, the report by Aegon is the second 50, and we can have, you know, the second half of our life, the time from 50 plus, being a really good life and be satisfied. And, you know, if something happens and we have some health challenges, you know, and perhaps we can't do the things we used to do, but that's okay. We can rethink it and think, well, what is it that we can do differently? You know, maybe you can't keep running, but maybe there's other things that you can do perhaps to stay fit.
But of course, though, as we get older, and the whole point of this discussion is that, you know, we are living longer. That is fact, compared with even 100 years ago. Yeah. The thing that I'm intrigued about is that the NHS is on its knees. The care system is on its knees as well. How do you think we've got we'll be able to improve our infrastructure that so it will support us through later life? Because I'm unconvinced as it stands today that we will.
I know it's a bit of a challenge, and I think we need to think about what is it that we can do to help ourselves. And, you know, I mean, who am I to say, but to move from dealing with ill people to keeping people well for longer, I think that would be a much better twist for the, you know, the NHS and the wider health service to think about, because we want to keep people being healthy, and we want to keep people staying in their own homes for as long as possible, because most people do not want to go off, you know, into specialist care. But we as individuals, you know, we can still do our bit by eating a bit more healthy and doing a little bit more exercise. But as I said, it's still the state of mind. It's if we think life is good, and if we, whatever our circumstances happen to be, then that goes a long way to live in a, you know, a more satisfying later life.
So from the research that was done by Aegon, was living or is living to 100 seen as a positive or not?
Well, it is. It is. And there will always be people who think, who reach a point at some point, maybe in their 90s, and they're thinking, you know, this is just, life's getting too hard. I don't want to carry on. You know, I've got too many ailments. And, you know, I'm not going to be Pollyanna. We can't assume everybody's going to go up until their last day being truly happy. But what we can do is to think about, but what is it we can do to make our later life better? And, you know, Aegon is a financial services company. Obviously, one of the things that they talk about is money, and about making sure that we've got money to live on. But we also need to have some money in case we need social care later on. You know, we might need to get cleaners, we might need to get carers to come in and, you know, look after us when we're later. So it's making sure that we have some money to do the things. And, you know, with the mortgage rate going up and school fees and goodness knows what else, people don't have much spare money at the moment. So organisations need to do what they can as well to support their staff by, you know, matching pension contributions. I think that's a really good thing for progressive organisations to do.
I mean, it's interesting you say that, because we hear in the news in sort of recent times that people in the 50 plus category have either chosen to go back to work because they're bored, or they, as you say, they haven't got the spare money. So they're returning to work just to top up their income. What advice would you give to employers who are looking perhaps to recruit, but are looking to recruit from the 50 plus or even the 60 plus demographic? Mm.
I don't write them off, because I belong to all sorts of networks and I keep on reading articles about people who are over 50 and they don't get interviewed. And partly some of that is down to them, because their CV is including things about their O levels, which is just shouting out that they're, you know, definitely beyond 40. And so there are certain things that individuals can do to enhance the CV. But also, you know, when I hear about people and they go for the interview and they say, and they de-age their CV, so it's not that clear how old they are, and they say the interviewer looking at them is maybe in their late 20s, and they just see their dad or their granddad walking in, and they say to me, you know, as soon as I walked in the door, I knew I wasn't going to get that job because I saw my grey hair, and they just thought, no, he's past it. And that's such a shame, because both of us are older. You know, we've got a lot of knowledge to share. We've learned things. You know, the rough edges have been taken away. And, you know, we've got more wisdom generally. And we can deal with stress and pressures better generally, because we've, you know, we've been there before and we've come through it. And there's a lot of evidence about having younger people and older people working together, how great it is. You know, McDonald's like having older members of staff, because it sort of, it keeps the temperature between staff members lower, and everybody's kinder because they've got like their uncle working with them, something like that.
What would be the one thing that you've taken away from the second 50 research?
I think the key thing is visualise what your future is going to be like. Have a view about what life you want to have at 60 or 70. And via the Aegon report, there's a link there. And you could do this really fun exercise where you're picking pictures of holidays that you'd like to do, picking pictures to do with family members, picking pictures to do with your hobbies, the sort of place you want to live, lots and lots of different things. And then you can download it and you've got like a collage. So it's a bit like a vision board. So you can stick it on the wall and think, that's something to look forward to, because I think we should look forward to getting older and look forward to having a more flexible later life, rather than thinking, you know, that means I'm old and past it, because, you know, I'm 66. You're definitely not old and past it.
So there's hope for me yet at 56 and a half then.
Absolutely.
What would be your top three tips then? For anybody listening to this who is of that mindset that you've just alluded to, where they think, oh, crumbs, I'm past it, and perhaps they may be in their 60s or something like that. You know, give me your three top three tips.
Should have given me warning at this time at night. The first thing is, I want you to catch yourself when you say any of those statements that say, like, oh, I'm just too old to go for this. No, there's no point in me applying because nobody's going to take me down. I want, every time you say that, I want you to go like, no, that's not right. So challenge yourself on that. I want people to have a vision for the future, because otherwise we just drift. So not everybody can think 25 years into the future, but you can generally think 3 or 5 years into the future. So have a bit of a goal about how you want your life to be, your relationship to be, where you want to be living, the things you want to be doing. So have a view of that. And enjoy life today, because nobody knows how many tomorrows we've got.
No, that is true. And one of my friends sadly passed away at 41 years of age a few months ago, leaving his wife and children behind, which was a shock to everybody. So, you know, you're quite right in that. To use a cliche, and I don't like cliches really, but you have to be in it to win it. And I think that's true. And I think that applies here. Would you agree?
Yes, indeed. I mean, we don't want to be passengers. gosh, it just, they're all coming out now, don't they? But we don't want to be passive as we go through life. We want to be active and we want to take control. And if things are working, great. And if things are not working, well, we need to do something about it. But I think there's just so many people now talking about, you know, the second half of life. And let's look forward rather than see it as a time of decline.
Indeed. Where can we get more information, Denise?
Yes. So if people wanted to go onto the Aegon website, and it's always a funny one to spell, so it's Aegon, so it's aegon.co.uk, and then it's second 50, second written out on 50 as numbers. And that should take you to a page where you can download the report. And the report is, I don't just say this about any report that I read, it's really useful. It's well laid out. There's some good questions to get people thinking about. And I'd encourage people to use that as a start as you review your life. And you might go through and think, yeah, I do all of that. Yes, you know, I've already thought about what I'm going to do, changing work-wise. Yeah, I've got my money all sorted. But maybe it's like, oh, I've never really thought about being with people with a different generation to me. I haven't got kids, so maybe that's the area to focus on. And think about the future and about purpose and joy and being active in a way that suits you. Not everybody's going to go and do cross-country running. You know, I do gentle swimming. Gentle swimming is lovely. I meditate sort of while I swim. So it's finding things that you enjoy and get that in your life.
Dr. Denise Taylor, psychologist and later life coach, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Live.
My pleasure. Thank you.